Verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. The first part of that verse, David said, Lord, you're my hiding place. And I want to preach on that this morning, the hiding place. I want you to imagine me this morning that maybe I'm here and maybe there's some men come in that door back there with guns or knives or bombs like a terrorist or something, and they're going to try to get me and you. And then let's just say that I can run over here and there's a little square room like a little closet or something, and I can just run and get in it and hide. That's what David said the Lord was to him, a hiding place. Now think about that. Here I'm in here. I can't stop a bullet. Like I told you last week, I tried that with my hand one time, went right through it. I put my hand up like that, the boy pulled the trigger, pow, went right through my hand. And if it had been here, it went through my body. Went here, it had been through my head. But if I can run to this hiding place, if I can run to it, it'll shield the bullets, it'll shield the darts, it'll shield the attacks that them men or whoever might be making on me. He's our hiding place. Now imagine, let's just say this morning, that I'm standing here with my Bible, and there's a man coming in that door right there with a knife. He says, Danny Castle, I'm going to kill you right now. I'm no match for a knife. I can't stop a knife. If a knife comes on me right now, I've had it. I'm no match for it. But if I can run, I can get in my hiding place, then he can't touch me. That's the thought that I want to leave with you this morning. I've got a hiding place. If I come in here this morning and there's 15 thugs come in that door and they'll say, we don't like preachers. We don't like you especially. Run that mouth all the time, preach, oh, these young people, we're going to do you in right now, big boy. And they start coming to me, I can't fight 15 thugs. I cannot do it by myself. Get that truth in your head. There is no way in the world that I can fight off 15 men. I mean, I'm pretty tough for my size, but I could not fight off 15 men. I mean, they have brass knuckles and they have boots and I couldn't do it. But if I can run to my hiding place and I can get in here and lock the door, then they can't get me. Now think about that. I want you to think, get this in your head. Now the Lord is our hiding place. Too many times, we as Christians, I'm guilty of it, I've done it so many times, we are trying to fight our battles, trying to fight off the devil and the world and the flesh, and we can't do it. We can't do it. We've got to go to our hiding place. He is our hiding place. I'm glad, brother, if there was a tornado come through here this morning, I'm glad we live in the mountains here where we don't have hurricanes and tornadoes. Occasionally we might have one touch down here and there, but we don't, for the most part, don't have to worry about hurricanes. Like they do in Florida somewhere. If one of them come through here, I can't stand out here and say, I'm going to try my best to stand. 150 mile an hour wind would blow me over at Lake James somewhere. I mean, I couldn't. I've been in one hurricane down there in Florida. Man, I'm telling you, we stand out like that, and you couldn't stand up. If you don't, it's just like going down the road 80 miles an hour or 100 miles an hour and stick your head out under or something like that. That's what a hurricane feels like, except it's all over your body. I couldn't stand it. But if I can say, hey, the hurricane's coming, I can run to my hiding place and I can get down in here and it can't touch me. The Lord is our hiding place.
That's right.
Now, I just want to give you a little quick truth this morning. You come back tonight and I'll preach another message. But I want to give you three things this morning why every man needs a hiding place and why that hiding place must be the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say, first of all, this morning, we need a hiding place from the power of sin within. Anybody who knows theirself knows there's a sinful nature raging inside you. And the only hope I've got against the power of sin within me is my hiding place, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what confuses a lot of people? A lot of people get confused because they go to the altar, they try to live right, and they still have bad habits. They still think bad thoughts. They still have evil desires. They still, and they think, well, I must not have got saved because I'm still the same old wicked person I've always been. Now, the truth is, you still have your sinful nature. Don't you believe any preacher who gets up here and says or tries to imply that his old nature has been eradicated and that he never has no kind of struggle on the inside. That man's not being honest with you. He's a self-righteous man trying to present himself in a way that's not possible. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 7, he said there's a war going on inside. He said, the good that I would, I do not. The evil that I would not do, that I do. He said, I want to do right, but evil is present with me. You know what I'm talking about. That's old flesh. You'll go to the altar, you'll make up your mind, God, I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to pray, I'm going to do good. You'll do pretty good. Then that old flesh starts pulling the other way. There's a struggle on the inside. You know what I mean? Nod your head. There's a struggle. Now you say, well, Brother Danny, I don't know what you mean. Well, there's something bad, wrong, with something wrong inside you. There's a struggle. There's a struggle. You may not have to struggle with maybe going out and getting drunk or committing adultery or robbing a bank, but there's some kind of fight going on inside you if you're really saved. I'm glad to say this morning, brother, that there's a hiding place, and that hiding place from that struggle of sin is Jesus Christ. Sometimes I get down to pray, and it just seems like my mind is clogged up. I can't believe. It feels like I think, God, where are you? God, are you ever going to hear my prayers? God, are you ever going to bless me again? And then that old flesh will start pulling the wrong way. The flesh don't want to pray. The flesh don't want to read the Bible. The flesh don't want to get up. Listen, I didn't even want to get up this morning. I didn't get into bed until 4:30, and boy, I woke up this morning like, wow, where am I? And my belly was hurting. It's still hurting. I got a bad bellyache right now. I feel fine except my bellyache. And the reason I've got a bellyache is because I ate a bag of Cheetos this big last night. So I wouldn't get killed. I'd rather have a bellyache than get killed. And I would get, every time I get real sleepy, I'd open up them bag of Cheetos. I'd eat about 8 or 10 of them. Sit down, girls. Let's go. Sit down, stay down. And you know what? I'd eat several of them Cheetos, and I'd drink me, had a bottle of water. And I'd eat more Cheetos, and I'd drink a bottle of water. And I ate more Cheetos, and they had a big cookout last night. And them ladies said, here, preacher, we fixed you a plate. 4 plates of food. 4 plates of food. I said, I can't eat all this. They said, yes, you, I mean, they have potato salad and baked beans and barbecued chicken and corn. I mean, everything on that. Yeah, I'll tell you how bad it was. I went through this toll bridge somewhere up and crossing into Virginia last night, and I come up to this toll bridge. You had to pay $3 to ride, go across this toll, you know. And so I reached down and I handed this girl, and she was in there, and she said, it's $3. I said, $3? Just get on this road. I pulled out 2 more. She said, I'll tell you what, I'll take a plate of that food you got sitting over there. I said, all right, what you like? And I opened it up and I said, you like fried chicken? And her and this other girl was in there. And she said, yeah. I said, well, I'll give it. They said, no, we done had some of that. I said, you like mashed potatoes? Potato salad? And, you know, she said, no, I'm going to give it to them. I didn't care. I wound up setting it out in the parking lot when I got gas. Anyway, listen, brother, I ate some of the chicken and got rid of the rest of it. But you know what? Because of that, I've got a bellyache. But I got to thinking about that, and I got to thinking about my flesh didn't want to cooperate. My flesh didn't even feel like getting up here preaching. I'm starting to feel pretty good right now. But I tell you what, brother, this morning, ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad, brother, when my flesh gives me a fit. My flesh embarrasses me. My flesh don't want to do right. But I'm glad, glory to God, that I've got a hiding place from the power of sin within me. When the devil comes and says, you ain't much of a Christian, Danny Castle, I can say, that's right. But he don't see me. I'm in my hiding place. I'm in the rock of ages. Oh, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. And ladies and gentlemen, can I say something to you this morning? Listen, when the world looks at me, they see my old faults and they see my failures. And you probably do too, and I see yours. But when the Lord sees me, he don't see me like I am. He sees me hid in the blessed rock of ages. And that is the greatest thing in this world. And that's why the world hates us. They look at us and they say, you people ain't no better than we are. You're right. You say, well, you, who do you think you are? We don't think we're nobody. We just got a hiding place. We got somebody we can hide in. Hide thou me, O blessed rock of ages. I'm glad this morning that we have a hiding place, ain't you? From the power of sin within. You know, back in the Old Testament, they had what they called cities of refuge. And those cities of refuge were made for a man. If a man killed somebody, maybe he's out in the field working or something, and his axe or hammer or something come down, hit a man in the head and kill him, well, they'd be after him going to kill him. And if he's going to kill him, he had a refuge, city of refuge. And he could run out of that city of refuge, and if he got inside the gate, they couldn't touch him. He's in the city of refuge. And it was a hiding place from the avenger of blood. And they couldn't do nothing to him if he got in there. And he was safe. I mean, he could stand in there and wave at them, stick his tongue out. I guess, you know, they couldn't get him. I mean, he might have killed somebody, but if he got in the city of refuge, he was all right. And did you know what? You know how long he was safe? He was safe till the death of the high priest. And boy, that'll preach, amen. You know how long I'm safe? I'm safe till Jesus dies. You know when that's going to happen? Never. He died one time. He come back alive. He said, I'm alive forevermore. And I'm going to say, glory to God, hallelujah. I'll still be saved 1,000,000 years from now, and 100,000,000 years from now, and 1,000,000,000 years from now. I'm safe till the high priest dies, and the high priest ain't going to die. I'm glad we got a hiding place from the power of sin within. Secondly, this morning, we got a hiding place from the power of the devil without. The power of the devil of that. Bible said, put on the whole armor of God. He'll build a hedge around you. Jesus is a safe hiding place. Did you know you're no match for the devil by yourself? Did you know there's not a person in this room tonight that's able to stand against the devil without the Lord helping you? You could not stand against the devil. Did you know the devil would kill us this morning if the Lord wouldn't have His hand on us and protecting us? He would. The devil wants to kill everybody. He's been trying to kill everybody since Adam and Eve was here. He hates life. His job, his mission is to kill you. Teenagers, that's why the devil wants you to get out and get in trouble and get on drugs and party and go to play. He wants you to die. He wants you to get a disease. He wants you to be in a car wreck and die. And I'm glad this morning when the devil attacks me, and I have been attacked by the devil. There's no doubt in my mind the devil has sent demons, seducing spirits and everything to try to wreck my life and ruin my life. But I do the same thing I do from the power of sin within. I, from the power of the devil without, I run to my hiding place. I'm no match for him. I'm like that little girl. She said, you know what? They said, well, how do you stand against the devil, little bitty girl? She said, well, every time a devil knocks at my heart's door, I just tell Jesus to go answer it. And that's right. That's what you got to do. Because see, the Lord's in your heart. And you say, Jesus, the devil's at the door. Will you go get it, please? That's the way to handle the devil. You know, when the Lord here was here, He reached back and got the Scripture and fought the devil with it. We cannot fight the devil. Some of you right now, you're struggling in your Christian life because you're trying to fight the devil in your own power. It cannot be done. You can't do it. You need the Lord. Amen? Jesus is a hiding place from seducing spirits. You know how I know that we don't have to be deceived by seducing spirits? We run to the Lord. When somebody like David Koresh or Jim Jones or somebody pops, some cult leader pops up in the world and says something crazy, something or another, when this guy comes along and he says he's the Christ, it's on TV and you can dial this 1-888 number and you can hear a message from Christ. They say He's in the world right now, getting ready to make His appearance soon. I'll be dealing with that Saturday night down there at Bright Light. And did you know something, brother? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, when that happens, how do you know who's the right one? We have a hiding place. The Lord hides us from the power of the devil without. The Lord is our hiding place. Thirdly this morning, and I'm going to say a few things and I'll be done. We have a hiding place from the judgment to come. The world is judgment bound. We got a hiding place from the tribulation. You know what the Lord's going to do with us while the tribulation's going on? Hide us. Hide thou me, O rock of ages. The worst time that the world has ever seen is coming around the corner. And me and you's going to be hid. Think about that. Think about that, people. If there wasn't no hell, it would be great to be saved this morning just to miss the tribulation. Miss the water turning to blood. Miss the sun getting dark.
the sores and the plagues and all the things that's going to happen. You know how we know all of this? Because we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's why we ought to be protected over His name. I don't know, baseball's in full swing right now, and I'm not a big baseball fan, but I read some stories that come to mind, and they said Branch Richie, who was a man who was a baseball manager way back years and years and years ago, back in the early 1900s, they said he was sitting down at a table, and they was making negotiations to sign this young player on that was going to be a great baseball player. Had a lot of potential, had a lot of things, and they're sitting down making a deal on how much they're going to pay him and everything. And he said that boy sat down there, and all of a sudden they're all talking, and he sat, pushed back from the table, threw down his pencil, and he said, "The deal's off." They said, "What?" He said, "The deal's off." They said, "Why? Don't you like him?" "Yeah." "Why? We not agree on the money?" "Yeah. The deal's off. I ain't having nothing else to do with it." They said, "What is wrong with you?" He said, "You people are talking bad about a good friend of mine, and I don't like it, and I ain't a messing with you." They said, "Who? We ain't said nothing bad about nobody." He said, "My friend Jesus." He said, "You've mentioned His name, and you've mentioned His name, and you've mentioned His name as a cuss word." And he said, "I don't appreciate you talking about Him like that. The deal's off." And you know what them men did? They said, "We did not realize that. We just say it out of habit." And they apologized and made things right, and the deal went on. You know what he was doing? He is saying, "Jesus is my hiding place. Jesus Christ is my hope. And I'm not just going to sit here and let you talk about Him like that." And I feel the same way. That's why I preach about some of that old rock music. Some rock music, not all of it, brother, but a lot, the biggest part of it has no use for Jesus Christ. I've studied some stuff just this week. New stuff that's coming out. Madonna going around putting herself on a cross. I mean, them making fun of the Lord like never before. MTV had on an ad. I didn't see it when it was actually on TV. Somebody made a video of it, and I got a hold of it. MTV had an ad on where God was running around. It was supposed to be God the Father, and He had a long beard and white hair and a sheet, and He was running around like this, and they was trying to get Him to dance, where they all line up, in a dance, and they call it a sandwich, where there's about 10 people dancing, their bodies all messed up against each other, like just a bunch of old wicked flesh, and they tried to get God to get in there and dance, and make a sandwich dance with Him, and Jesus, His Son, was running around here, and God's fussing at His Son, saying, why didn't you do your chores today, Jesus? And He said, "Well, Father, I got them all done. I healed 2 people, and I done this, and I fed the multitude." And the Lord said, "Well, did you feed them starving children in Africa?" And Jesus said, "Well, I forgot all about it. It slipped my mind." And it's making a big joke out of God on MTV. That's why you parents need to watch and know what your kids are seeing on television. You say, "Well, it's just a little music." It ain't no little music. It's a diabolical plot to make your kid think that Jesus Christ is nothing. And Lord, they don't say nothing about Buddha. They don't say nothing about Muhammad. It's always Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you this morning, no matter what they say about Him, Marilyn Manson hates Him. You know what Marilyn Manson said about his Jesus Christ, his superstar album? He said, "I hope when anybody listens to this album that they'll get God out of their mind and don't want to think about God." I'm going to tell you something. The day is going to come when Marilyn Manson will wish to God he had a hiding place from the wrath of God, but he'll never have it. He'll never have it. I got one. I can run to the Lord, and He can help me. He can help me. We will no longer be oppressed by the fascism of Christianity. Oh, shut up, you little noodle. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm telling you something this morning, brother. I'm glad we've got a hiding place. He's alive and well. And His name is Jesus. Amen. I'm glad we're getting hid from the tribulation. The old song, this old song said, you all talk about what I'm missing. Why, by the time they find me missing, I'll be missing the tribulation and living in glory land. You heard that song? I'll be missing, you know, missing it. People talk about, "You Christians, you sure miss out a lot." Yeah, we are. We're going to miss the tribulation. We're going to miss the mark of the beast. We're going to miss hellfire. We're going to miss all the trouble. We're going to miss the anguish. Boy, we miss a lot being Christians, don't we? Glory to God. We're going to miss all the plagues. We're going to miss seeing the mark of the beast. We're going to miss it all. Hallelujah. Amen. We have a hiding place from the judgment to come. I read about this hitchhiker, and he'd go around hitchhiking all the time. He couldn't even read, illiterate. And he got saved, and he loved the Lord, and he wanted to tell somebody about Jesus. And you know how he witnessed? He'd go out and hitchhike, and when somebody would pick him up, he'd start trying to talk to them, and he couldn't hear, and he couldn't read, and the only way he could do it with his hands. And they said he'd get down, and he'd draw a cross on the road, and he'd point to his heart. And he said he had people down on their knees crying, coming to the Lord Jesus Christ like that. I'm glad we got a God like that. Listen, if you ain't... You know what I'm basing my whole life... Can I say something to you? This may not be the best message you've ever heard, and it sure ain't to me, but I'm just going to tell you something this morning. You know what thrills me this morning? What bothers me is that people think, well, he's going to heaven because he's a preacher and he wears a tie and preaches every Sunday. That ain't got nothing to do with me going to heaven. If I didn't do this, I'd still go to heaven. I'm doing this because I want to. I'm doing this because God called me to do it. I know my purpose on this earth, and I'm doing it right now. There ain't no doubt in my mind at all that God put me on this earth to do what I'm doing right now. I'm just as at ease and feel just like I'm like a dead pig in the sunshine or whatever they say. I'm telling you what, brother, listen, I'm telling you I'm content. I know that I've found my niche. I've found my groove. I'm doing what God wants me to do. I'm not doing this because I'm trying to get to heaven. I'm doing it. It comes natural. Can't you tell? I know you can. I'm not up here putting on an act. I'm not up here trying to be like a reverend. This is me, brother. I'm missing my personality coming out. I'm bragging on Him. And I love to stand up and brag on my Savior that saved me from hell. It's not a profession. The ministry is not a vocation. I'm not saying, well, he wanted to preach and he found a church that would hire him. No! You missed it. You missed it all wrong. Lord, I preached for years before there was a church that I even could get in by. We'd preach on the street. We'd preach on top of the van. We'd preach at the trade lot. Amen? I'm telling you, brother, we got somebody to brag about. You know why I'm going to heaven? I touched Him. He touched me when I was 18 years old. I may not have all my facts right on this, but I think I got it right here. I'm going to tell you this story. About the 1908 World Series. Another baseball story. Aren't you proud of me? I hardly ever talk about baseball. Maybe there's some baseball players here this morning need to listen to that. I like that story of that old preacher. He's a baseball fanatic. Did you hear about that preacher who's a baseball fanatic? He preached every time. They said he never preached one time without mentioning baseball. Every time he preached. You've heard me tell the story. I love it. Said he preached. He'd mention statistics. He would mention some coach. He would mention some World Series and who won, how many, what the score was. Every time he preached. Well, they said there's this old woman in the church died, and she's an old maid, never had been married, never done, just lived her life, and that's it. Never did do nothing bad, never did do nothing good. And she just lived. And so they had her funeral. And at her funeral, one of the ladies sort of reached over and punched her other lady, and she said, "You the guy that called me?" "Amen. Good to have you, brother. Called me from a motel this morning wanting to know how to get here." And she punched her friend and said, "I bet you he don't say nothing about baseball this morning." She said, "He will too. I ain't never heard him preach one time and didn't say something about baseball." She said, "Nah, he will not. He ain't going to say nothing about baseball." She said, "He will. I've never heard him preach once without he didn't at least mention baseball." And she said, "Well, I don't believe he will. What? This old woman didn't even know what a baseball game was." Well, he got up there and boy, he got preaching that funeral. And there she laid out there like that. He waxed eloquent about halfway through, you know, and getting to higher heights and loftier lofts and deeper depths and lower lows and all that stuff. And boy, I'll tell you what, he's sitting there and he said, "Here lies the bones of Mary Jones. For her death, hell no terrors. She lived an old maid, she died an old maid. No hits, no runs, no errors." And that's the way she went, boy. I mean, her life was a big zero. She didn't do nothing good. She didn't do nothing bad. But in the 1908 World Series, the story said this. The Chicago Cubs, New York Giants were playing. The pennant was on the line. Ninth inning. Score was tied. Bottom of the ninth. The Giants were at bat. New York was batting. Chicago was in the outfield. Two outs and two men on base. One was on old Fred Merkel. He was on first base. And another man was on third. And all they had to do is get that man on third in and win the game and win the World Series. That's all they had to do. And New York would be the winner. So, New York got there. They pitched the ball. The guy hit a single. And when he did, the man on third base took off running and crossed home plate the winning run. And when that happened, Fred Merkel was on first base. And he took off. And he did. He was a young player. And the fans come out on the field. And everybody went crazy and started screaming. So he just started rejoicing with them. You know what he didn't do? He's supposed to run all the way and touch second base. And the Chicago second baseman noticed it. And he went looking for the ball. Because if he could get that ball and touch second base, that would be an out. And that run wouldn't count. World Series on the line. One of the New York coaches saw what was going on. Everybody out there screaming, jumping up and down, thought the game was over. He went and got the ball, grabbed it, and slung it up in the stands. So that guy couldn't get it. That's true. And they said, one of the fans got it and said, yeah, I got me a trophy here, and started out the door with it. And some of the Chicago fans went and followed him, went and beat him up, and took the ball away from him, brought it back in, took it down there, and the man went and got it and touched second base, and the umpire said he's out, and they lost the game. That's right. And they said that boy played 14 more years in Major League Baseball, but he never got over the reputation. But he missed that one base. You know what? Jesus said, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. There's a lot of people in church this morning. All kinds of churches, all kinds of places, all kinds of religion. But if you miss touching that base, you're out. Has there ever been a time in your life when you know you touched Him, He touched you? Now, I'm not talking about physically like this. You don't feel His hand on yours. But deep down in my heart, I know there come that night when I said, Lord, I need a hiding place. And I touched Him. I touched the base. I'd hate to think when I got to heaven or stand up there in front of God, God said, you went to church, you tried to teach your neighbor right, you paid your bills, but you never did touch that base. Has there ever been that time in your life when you know you've been saved? You need a hiding place from the power of sin within you, from the power of the devil without that. And from power from to save you from the judgment to come, you need a hiding place. Let's stand by for prayer.